Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome to Sports Day on this Wednesday. And we kick off tonight's show on a little bit of a sad note. A hot topic for Repco, for expert car air conditioning service you can rely on. You visit repcoservice.com. This morning when I turned on the television, Hayes, all the news was breaking out of the United States around the car accident of Tiger Woods. A car had rolled and he had been extracted from the vehicle by the jaws of life. He'd been taken to hospital where there was an emergency operation which was taking place on his leg. So you've got a statement that has been put out by his manager.
Absolutely, Carl. Yes, very sad, but good to see he's in good health. He's currently awake, responsive and recovering in his hospital room, but he has had significant surgery to his legs. He's had some rods inserted, some screws inserted. So you think he may make a good recovery, but you can't see him getting back to that level in golf as well. But he has had a troubled time with car vehicles in the past.
Yeah, it was it was a nasty accident. The front end was caved in, so he's probably lucky to be alive. But that is the good news. He is, Tiger Woods, alive, and we will hopefully be able to update you further as the days go on. You'll be blown away with car air conditioning service at Repco Authorised Service. You can book at repcoservice.com. The president of the Melbourne Football Club will join us tonight, Glenn Bartlett and Adam Voges as well, here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
And we always love a good Wednesday wine. And for Sullivan Logistics, three votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. The captain of the wine bus is Paul Hazelby today.
I'm going to have a wine about the Olympic Games. Now, I grew up idolising Perkins, Thorpe, Freeman and watching to all hours of the night growing up to watch all these great athletes. But I feel the Olympic Games is losing its luster. The Olympic dream is not what it once was, Carl, and the further evidence of that is the IOC announcing that Brisbane is the sole bid, the only country to bid for the 2032 Olympic Games. They're entering now into exclusive negotiations. But, Carl, why has it changed? Why isn't the Olympics what it was? I've got my own thoughts on this around I don't think countries really care that much like they used to in regards to whether they do well in those events or the Olympic and win those sort of medals. I also think many of the countries now have so many people that come from other parts of the world, immigrants. And you only have to look at Bryce Cotton. He's an American. He could represent Australia in the Olympics. So I think it loses its luster because it's not absolutely 100% Australians, I guess, up against other countries, because all countries have people from everywhere.
Okay, I'll tell you why it loses its luster for me. Okay, and this is my whine about the Olympic Games. There should be no professional athlete at an Olympic Games.
Good call.
Zero. No, not one. If you've got an NBA contract, then you shouldn't be going to the Olympic Games.
Tennis,
exactly
golf.
The same. What it should be, well, golfers can go, but those that have not yet turned pro. So the best amateur golfers in Australia and America, and there's many of them. You look at some of the aspiring golfers we've spoken to who are coming through the ranks here in WA. I mean, they've probably got the credentials to go pro, but they're biding their time. And that is their turn to shine, is going to an Olympic Games. And so for me, that's what the Olympic Games was all about. It was bringing together those amateur sports and those obscure sports, a lot of which we don't get to see day to day broadcast in our living rooms like we get with the other professional codes. And it gives you a bit of a change too. I mean, I love seeing the challenge of the heptathlon and things like that. And I love seeing the country side when people are riding horses and going over jumps and putting themselves under pressure. All those sorts of things are what's have always appealed to me. So that's what I would like to whinge about when it comes to Olympic Games these days.
What do you think about Perth? Do you think we should make a bid in the future? Obviously, it's going to be a while after Brisbane gets it because they like to share it around to different continents, I guess. But do you think we see a time when you're alive, we get one here in Perth?
Well, I think that we've got facility now. I mean, if you have a look at Perry Lakes and you have a look at this stadium here, which could quite easily be converted into an athletics arena, and you could turn the field into a field of play where they could have a lot of those events, then, yeah, I think that we've got a much better landscape. But overall, I think if you're going to have it in a country like ours, and what was the Empire Games, wasn't it, that we had back here, I reckon, for a long, 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 long time ago out there at Perry Lakes. Yeah, I think we're probably better equipped in more recent times than what we've ever been before.
Will you go to Brisbane?
Will I go to Brisbane?
2032?
Only if I'm calling the cycling, which I've done before. Anamir's won gold in Sydney. I got to call the Sydney Olympic Games. I called the World Championships here as well, going back in days gone by. But love to be in the arenas calling the action, Hayes. If I get a chance to commentate, then love to go.
I'll be going, definitely. I'll take my girls. They probably won't want to hang out with me at that age, but I'm still going to go, and I think it's a one-time opportunity. I regret not going to Sydney because I was 18 years of age at that time.
I ran with the torch in 2000, up Hampton Road down there in Frio.
Let you into Frio?
And you've seen it in my office. It's up on my wall there, and I've got the tunic I wore that day. I've got the actual torch that I carried, minus the flame. They took the flame out, the gas cylinder. But I could probably find one to go in it to rekindle the feeling. For Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight expert, Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul. We'll come back with the president of the Melbourne Football Club, Glenn Bartlett, next.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and great to have a special guest on the program. He is the president of the Melbourne Football Club. Used to be chairman, but he is the president these days. And for Nutrien Water, providing affordable water-wise solutions at every home, Glenn Bartlett joins us on the program. Welcome, Prez. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Carl and Paul. Great to be with you.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks very much for your time, mate. Well, a lot has transpired since the last time Melbourne was in Western Australia. It was the West Coast Eagles and Melbourne clash. I'll remember it forever, mate, because there was nobody there virtually, and I was sitting in the grandstand in my commentary box calling that game with no fans. It seems like it was only yesterday, but it was an unbelievable change to the football landscape as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl, and, you know, certainly, you know, it was a very challenging times, and then the impact on people. And I can recall, you know, it just happened, and it happened so quickly. But there's so much happened since then. I think the hardest thing, well, I think the industry and the club should be proud of, you know, the way we got through the season last year. But there were a lot of hard calls that had to be made, and, you know, a lot of good people lost their jobs in the footy industry. And you know, hopefully we're coming out of it now.
Glenn, how did your club fare financially through that period? We had some results today from Sydney and the Giants, $10 million loss between those two clubs. But for Melbourne, how was it?
Yeah, Paul, we certainly, when it first hit, you know, we swung into weekly board meetings for monthly and a crisis working group, and we were looking at an $8 to $10 million loss straight up. We got it back to 2.9, and that was through a lot of hard work between the exec, our board, but also wonderful support from our commercial partners and members. And we've made a decision a couple of years ago to exit Pokies, which was 2 or 3 years of work to get to that point. So, you know, we're in good shape in terms of cash reserves, and we wiped out our debt for the only second time in 20 years. So, you know, we've come out of it, you know, feeling in pretty good shape, although we're not out of it yet. It's still a lot of uncertainty in terms of what's in front of us. But, yeah, we were looking at $8 to $10 million. As I say, it's a result, a lot of work got it back to 2.9, which is still a big number, and it's not sustainable. So, you know, hoping this year, you know, we'll get crowds back, and, you know, we'll have a thriving comp again with fans, with all their fans there, and we're through it, but yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
How are things looking at Casey now? Because, you know, you look at a lot of the clubs around the land, mate, including our two here, they've got state-of-the-art facilities.
So we're working on our home base project in the MCG precinct, and working very hard with the Vic government, AFL, MAPT, the Melbourne Olympic Park Trust, on that, and we're making progress. So we're hoping to have, you know, some concrete news soon. Casey, part of our strategic plan was to redevelop, upgrade Casey down there. So we've now got, you know, really good gym, indoor kicking area, and good facilities down there, at MCG size oval. And look, thank goodness, because at Amy Park, one of the issues is we share the facilities with, in terms of pools and, you know, a very big gym, but with Storm and Victory, and of course with COVID and all the protocols, it's been necessary to relocate over the summer our team, our men's team, down to Casey for training, so we can meet all the protocols. But you know, that's, I guess, long-term the vision, you know, our home base, walking distance from the MCG with social club, et cetera, all under the one roof, and sort of our secondary campus, if you like, you know, down at Casey. And it's also very important for our women's program as well in terms of playing home games and the like.
Glenn Bartlett stays with us after this. Visit your local Nutrien Water experts today or shop online at nutrienwater.com.au.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're chatting to Glenn Bartlett here on the program. He's the president of the Melbourne Football Club, Hayes.
Glenn, what are your expectations and the board's expectations on field this year, given 2 years ago you rose up the ladder, played finals last year, you missed by 2 points, but I know you've had some early injuries, but what's the board thinking here?
Yeah, Paul, we last year put out a four-year strategic plan, and both for our men's and women's teams, the expectation set was to play finals each year and deliver a premiership for each team in that four-year period. Those expectations haven't changed. Obviously, our women's team last year played their first finals and ticked the box. The men's fell just short, so that was a fail last year. But the expectation is to play finals, and this year, in terms of the list, you know, we have changed our coaching structure, you know, a bit over the summer, and that's great to have Choco Williams and Adam Uzay into that group and Jordan Lewis as well. So, you know, really to, I would say top four, but to push as deep as and high as we can, obviously. But we've set, you know, pass or far, we expect to play finals. We fell just short last year. Those Cairns games, you know, killed us in the end, but you know, we've nailed our mask to that, those expectations, and can't wait for it to start.
It seems that all the Victorian presidents have had a bit to say about the push of Tasmania. You're a knowledgeable man. What do you think about this, and do you think it's something the AFL should explore and obviously complete at some stage?
it's a hot topic there. Look, I guess my, I'd probably leave specifically, you know, the Tasmanian case and, you know, the government and North and obviously Hawthorn have got, you know, really direct interest there, leave that alone. But I guess from where I sit, Paul and Carl, I really think sort of adding one team and making it 19 doesn't, from a fixturing and, you know, revenue perspective, doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd love to see the strategy set for, okay, 2030 or 2025, you know, the competition ideally should be 20 teams, or the number's going to be 18, or it's going to be 22 by 2040, and then work from there. So, you know, you're looking at licences for two teams, which makes sense in terms of fixturing, you know, adding a game and revenue in terms of TV rights, rather than having, you know, the 19. So I probably think the first thing the AFL and the clubs need to do is set the size of what they see the, you know, ideal size of the AFL competition is, and then go from there. But certainly a lot of wonderful players, including from Melbourne, have come out of Tassie. A lot of wonderful players have come out of the Northern Territory as well. So I'd like to see the vision set for the overall size of the comp, and then, you know, work back in an orderly way from there. It may not happen that way, but that's my view on it.
Glenn Bartlett there. We'll come back in a moment and have a chat to Adam Voges next, the coach of our West Australian cricket team.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And off the top of this hour is the bloke that's just signed a new deal. That's what I read in the newspaper at the West Australian Cricket Association. His name is Adam Voges. Another 3 years at the helm. Well done, mate.
Yeah, good evening, guys. I think that the paper might have jumped the gun a little bit there. I can say that officially that isn't the case just at this stage, but certainly the talks have been really positive, and hopefully we'll have something, if not next week, the week after.
All right. So on that note then, are you still comfortable with coaching across all formats, which is what you're currently doing at the moment?
Yeah, it's what I've done for the last 3 years. I love my job. I love the fact that I can run our programs here in WA with both West Australia and the Scorchers. And, it keeps me busy. There's no doubt about that. But, I certainly thoroughly enjoy being able to run and be the head of both those programs.
Would you love to replace Justin Langer once again in the future, or maybe take on some of those IPL coaching positions?
I'm pretty happy at the moment, Hayes, to be honest. As a coach, I'm only 3 years into it, so there's still plenty for me to do here. And with the way that our guys are going and our programs here in WA, I'm really excited about what this next little period can hopefully bring. And there's still plenty of work to be done.
And look, you've got a young family too. I mean, JL's in probably a little bit of a different situation now that his kids are a little bit older. But with the time away from home and all of those factors, even you've had to endure it domestically, mate. And we're not really out of it yet. It's a lot to consider, isn't it, when you're talking about doing what you do?
Yeah, that's right. It's one of the parts of the job is that there is an amount of travel, and certainly Justin and the Australian team do a lot more than what we do domestically, albeit this year with COVID and bubbles and hubs and that sort of thing. It's certainly been different, and we've spent a lot more time away this year. But that's part of the job, so you've got to enjoy it when you're home, and I'm certainly doing that at the moment.
Now, how well's Cameron Green going? He comes off a double century in grade cricket, and you today, I believe, I'm looking at a picture of you and Greeny, and inducted into the Test Player Walk. That's nice.
Yeah, that's right. Anyone who's been down to the Wacker and the back of the Lily Marsh down there sees the walk of all the West Australian Test players, of which Cameron's our latest addition. And it was really nice to unveil the photo of him today, and to have all the players and staff and his family there. I think that was a really special moment. But he comes into this Shield, Graham, in great form. Scored a double hundred for CB on the weekend. I actually asked him on Monday morning. I said, "You must have hit him pretty well." He's first thing he said to me was that the outfield was really slow and he probably should have got a few more. But, he's going well, and he's obviously going to be really important for us over the next 4 days.
Mate, I was looking at him on the stream. He was putting a fair few over the grass, mate, so it didn't matter about hitting them along the grass. They were one bounce over the rope or they were going over the rope. Now, just on the picture that we can see on the walk, he's actually bowling and not batting, and it looks like a very young version of Greeny is on display.
Yeah, well, I think you think back to his first-class debut for West Australia, and we certainly picked him as a bowler. I think he batted 8 or 9 in that game for us, and I told the story today about facing him in the nets the day before the game, and it only took me 5 to 10 minutes of facing him in the nets to walk over to Justin, who was our coach, and said, "We've got to play this kid," because we knew that there was something pretty special there, and he obviously took 5 wickets on debut, but it's obviously been his batting that's certainly progressed over the last sort of 12 to 24 months, and he's been outstanding for West Australia, particularly in Shield cricket. So you could have easily had a picture of him with bat in hand, but he's a genuine all-rounder. He can bat in your top four, and he's going to provide us some handy overs, and that's the really exciting part of
Adam Voges there, legendary moments. Local legends wanted. You can search bowls clubs near me. And I think what we saw last night was a brilliant performance from our Perth Wildcats. We will have a chat to Trevor Gleeson tomorrow night on the program. Looking forward to that. But they were very good. Bryce Cotton led the charge. And how good is Mooney? He is really starting to show his worth, the new recruit into our Perth Wildcats. So have a look at the replay if you haven't seen it already from our Perth Wildcats victory last night. Local legends, that's what those blokes will become. Local legends wanted. The Bowls Green is just up the road. You search Bowls Clubs near me. We'll finish off with a few news headlines next.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
And we finish off with some news headlines for product Script Pharmacy Sleep Services. Get tested for sleep apnea. Just repeating the news that Tiger Woods is recovering in hospital after a car accident overnight. He had injuries to his legs and he's undergone some emergency operations. But he is awake and he's talking, and that is the good news. Hayes?
Hawthorn and the Western Bulldogs in a intra-club today. 15 goals, 7 to 12, 10. The Hawks came from behind. They had 22 scoring shots. Only one 50-metre penalty with the new rules that have been introduced. Tim English spent most of the game as a forward and Steph Martin as the ruck. Just some other news. The West Coast Eagles on Fremantle game. That's been announced. It'll be at Optus Stadium on the 7th of March. It's a Sunday at 4:10. Darcy Moore has been added to the leadership group of Collingwood, joining the same six from last year. And the AFLW forced to have double-up double up matches because of our border restrictions. So may have to play the same teams again, and we'll have a season that could be compromised because of the restrictions here in WA, not allowing our teams to play against the Victorians. And Mitch Swepson diagnosed with a stress fracture of his neck vertebrae. That is not good. Could miss a lot of cricket. That's all we've got time for tonight. Snoring, waking up tired. Find out if you have sleep apnea. Book a home sleep test at Pharmacy Sleep Services. We'll see you again tomorrow.